contentment. I learned a lot. I always learn a lot through study. You know, you get an idea, but when you get into the meat and the Word of God, it really helps to expand your understanding. Yeah. And we're going to understand some critical things. Father, we ask for you to minister into our inner person, Lord. Give us your insights, your wisdom, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. Speak into our lives, we ask in Jesus' name. The issue of contentment plays such a vital part in the life of a believer that without it, life is chaotic and dysfunctional. Without contentment, self will take you out of position from receiving God's best because of the longing for self-gratification. Some of the signs of a person who is discontent would be these descriptions in Galatians chapter 5, as we read in Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, they which do some such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Pretty stern words. The discontented person, now listen closely, the discontented person is not spiritually minded.
Can you say that again?
The discontented person is not spiritually minded. As we see in the book of Romans, discontentment will cause you to walk against the things of God. Romans 8:5 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." If you're discontented, you're in the flesh. Discontentment also affects your faith. Understand this. If you are not content in Christ, you are striving in the carnal realm. Did you hear that? If you're not content in Christ, you are striving in the carnal realm, and the Holy Spirit is not there. The Holy Spirit does not accompany you in the carnal realm. In the carnal realm, a believer cannot be walking in faith. And we know that without faith we cannot please God, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, here is another area that will be affected by discontentment: your love walk. Look at this scripture in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5:6 says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love." This helps us to understand why discontentment is so vital, is so vital to our spiritual walk with the Lord. All of God's principles are connected to one another. All of God's principles are connected to one another. You can't have one without the other. It's like the Ten Commandments. Jesus said, if you break one, you've broken them all, because they all are hinged on one another. So it is with the principles that we learn in the New Testament. Everything is hinged upon one another. And this is just one little area here that we're talking about, but we can look back on what we talked about, waiting on the Lord. We talked about meditating. We talked about peace. We talked about fellowship. A discontented person, well, they won't have peace. And if they stay in that situation, they won't want to be in fellowship. And if they continue, they won't want to wait. They won't be able to see themselves waiting on the Lord, let alone meditating on the things of the Lord. They all hinge on one another. If we were to categorize the characteristics of a content person, most likely we would give the fruit of the Spirit, which is found in Galatians chapter 5, again, as the answer. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit." Now, notice it says fruit, singular. All of this is one fruit. And as we've learned before, what is fruit? We've talked about this. What is fruit? It says that he prunes us, he purges us so that we can bear more fruit. What is it that God is looking for? The heart. Everything proceeds out of the heart. Thanks, Drew. So the fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, as you can see, this is all stuff that is spiritual. It's not tangible. Those are conditions of the heart. If we were to just sort of dissect it, a person who's content, a person who's walking in the spirit, he's loving. He has joy. He has peace. He has long suffering. He has gentleness. He has goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, which is self-control. Against such there is no law. Those are the matters or the issues that come from the heart. Fruit. The fruit is the vehicle or the engine for the works. We are, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, Matthew chapter 5. So the best way to explain that and to put it in context is where we see at one time Jesus saw multitudes of people. And it says he had compassion on them. So that was the fruit of the heart. Compassion. Love. And he healed them. So out of that heart condition, he did the work. This is the goal of the Holy Spirit for you and I, the believer. Jesus said in John chapter 16, starting at verse 13, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you." Remember last week we talked about, was it peace that we talked about last week? And Jesus said, "My peace I give to you." And he said, the Holy Spirit will receive of mine. He'll give to show you whatever things are of me. That's what the Holy Spirit is come to do. Second Corinthians 3:18, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." The Holy Spirit is not idle when it comes to bringing about the spiritual formation of Christ's character in our lives. He is the one who is now at work within us. What is his work? This is his mandate, to bring us into the image of Jesus Christ. That's what his job is. Take of what received from me and give it to you, to show it to you, so you can follow me, so you can put on Christ, as Paul wrote. To bring us into the image of Jesus Christ and to a place of glory, as we see in the scripture above. Bring us from glory to glory. Now, without turning to the next page, what would you define glory as? His presence.
Credit.
Exalted.
Reflection.
His reflection.
Your reflection.
I'd say like giving you credit.
All right. Go ahead, go to the next page. This is the definition of glory from the Greek lexicon of the Bible. Strong's number 1391. Opinion. Judgment. View. Opinion. Estimate whether good or bad concerning someone. In the Old Testament, always a good opinion concerning one, resulting in praise, honor, and glory. Splendor. Brightness of the moon, sun, stars, magnificence, excellence, preeminence, dignity, grace, majesty, a thing belonging to God, the kingly majesty which belongs to him as supreme ruler, majesty in the sense of the absolute perfection of the deity, a thing belonging to Christ, a kingly majesty of the Messiah, the absolutely perfect inward or personal excellency of Christ, the majesty of angels as apparent in their exterior brightness, a most glorious condition, most exalted state of that condition with God the Father in heaven, to which Christ was raised after he had achieved his work on earth. The glorious condition of blessedness into which is appointed and promised that true Christians shall enter into their Savior's after their Savior's return from heaven. Now, magnificence, majesty, supreme ruler, perfection of the deity, all of these things, if you go back, it says the Holy Spirit brings us into the image of Christ from glory to glory. All of that is for you, to bring you into that place of magnificence, to bring you into that place as you share as supreme ruler, to bring you into that place to where the perfection of the deity of the inward person and the excellence of Christ. That's why the Bible says put on Christ. We are called to a high place. Now, I present to you this fact that if it was not possible to attain, it wouldn't be here. It wouldn't say it. Does that mean that we walk around perfect and we're glowing and floating around? No. What it means is that we have that inner character that Jesus had. The inner character of faith, the inner character of confidence, the inner character of a deep, intimate fellowship with Jehovah God. And everything else that goes along with Christ. If the Holy Spirit is in control of your life, you are in a place. Now listen closely. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit is in control of your life? Or, let me ask you this, have you allowed the Holy Spirit to be in control of your life? If you have, you are in a place where he sees you, need to be, where he sees that you need to be, in that place you are to be content. Wherever you are, if the Holy Spirit is guiding you and directing you, he's brought you to a place where you need to be content because he brought you. This is where I need to be because the Holy Spirit brought me here, and I am to be content. The only discrepancy would be if you were resisting the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. So, what is contentment? I've got some definitions here. Here's Webster's definition. Number one, content. A resting or satisfaction of mind without disquiet, acquiescence. You know what acquiescence means? To acquiesce means to go backwards. So you're drawing back to rest. You're drawing back to be quiet. Your hiding place, your resting place. Contentment. Here's a tough one. Without external honor is humility. Without external honor is humility. Which means we're not to be looking to be patted on the back. We're not to be looking to be exalted. In fact, Jesus said that whoever's going to be the greatest among you, let him be the servant. He says, don't think that I've come. Jesus, the master of the universe, the I am, the word made flesh, he said, don't think that I've come to be ministered to. No. But I've come to minister, even to give my life as a ransom for many. So even Jesus, and that's why he's so greatly honored, is because he humiliated himself. Not just humbled, humiliated himself by going to the cross. Here Webster quotes, godliness with contentment is great gain. Gratification, you're happy where you are. Let's look at some scriptures. Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak of respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Again, recognizing this is where the Holy Spirit's put me. I'm in God's will. I'm going to be content. Paul also wrote, whatsoever things you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Being content. Now, look at this, some of these notes here. This content, G842, autarkis, is only mentioned once in the New Testament. And here's a definition. Sufficient for oneself. Strong enough or processing enough to need no aid or support. So in the spiritual sense, if I'm content, I don't need to be patted on the back. I don't need to be encouraged. If I'm content, I'm not poor mouthing, If I'm content, I'm right in dab in the middle of the will of God, right in the palm of his hand, or as I like to say it, right in the saddle. What a place to be. Independent of external circumstances. Doesn't matter what's going on around you. Didn't Jesus say we'd learn about peace in this world? I give you my peace. Remember when he was on the ship and the waves and we're crashing, but he had said, let's go to the other side. So he had confidence in what he said, and he was content. He was confident enough that he went down and he just fell asleep, knowing that his will, his word was going to be accomplished. Independent of external circumstances. Look at this, number three. Content with one's lot, with one's means, though the slenderest. You're content where you are. If God's put you in a tough place, the Bible tells us, I think I even have that scripture written down, that if need be, he says, don't think it's strange concerning the trials, because if need be, you're in hardship. If need be. So that your faith can be purified. This is the Holy Spirit's word. What does fire do?
Purifies.
Burns off the dross. Gets the garbage out. Fire makes it come to the top. So it can be scooped off. 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Not just, it's okay. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Which means, if I'm interpreting what, you know, looking in between the lines, not a lot of people find that. It's something to be accomplished. It's a great feat. But if you do, hey. Now, look at this next scripture, 2 Corinthians 9:8. Starting there. Now, I left the Strong's numbers here on purpose because I want to show you something. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, if you notice, I underlined the word sufficiency, which is G841. Okay? Now, if you look at going back to 1 Timothy 6:6, that word contentment is G841. It's the same word. Sufficiency and contentment is the same word. This is only used twice in the New Testament. This is the definition of this contentment. A perfect condition of life in which no aid or support is needed. Sufficiency of the necessities of life. A mind contented with its lot. Here's another one. 1 Timothy 6:8. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. And the Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may say boldly, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. These two scriptures, content is 714, G714. Sounds like bingo. This is taken from the Greek lexicon of the Bible. This is only used twice in the New Testament, in these two verses right here. To be possessed of unfailing strength. Wow. To be strong, to suffice to be enough. To defend, ward off, to be satisfied, to be contented. What would you have to defend, or what would you have to ward off? Yeah, discontentment. Ward off the feeling that you don't have enough. Because Christ is all in all. Is that true?
Yes.
So if Christ is all in all, then we have all. We just, again, going back to the previous scriptures, we have to apply faith to believe it, to trust in it. As you can see from the scriptures above, contentment is a decision. An act of the will. It is not something that comes upon you without realizing it. Oh, I'm content. No, it doesn't. It doesn't happen like that. You make a decision. Lord, this is a tough spot that I'm in, but I know you're with me. I'm going to trust you. And Lord, it's not going to affect the way I feel. It's a decision. Contentment is understanding that God truly is the sustainer of your life. When Jesus was tempted of the devil, Matthew chapter 4, he had fasted for 40 days. He was hungry. The devil came and, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Appealing to his flesh, his hunger. And Jesus said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God is the sustainer. God's word has the ability to sustain you. God's word has the ability to manifest itself to your need and to bring that need to pass, the answer to that need. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12 that the word of God is quick. It's alive. It's in operation. Isaiah 55 11 says, my word will not return to me void. It will accomplish what I sent it to do. What will accomplish? My word will accomplish what I sent it to do. It's alive. Commitment is having the sure word of God working in every part of your life. So the question is, how much do you want God's word to work in your life? How much do you want the Holy Spirit to be taking over? When you are content, you are at rest. That's what this whole study is about. The discipline of rest. Can you see how contentment correlates with rest? When you are content, you are at peace. We studied peace. When you are content, you are clear-minded. You're not agonizing over problems. You're not striving to accomplish things. You're not in fear.
You're not double-minded.
You are clear-minded. When you are content, you are not striving. One of the biggest hurdles I see in the life of a Christian is the desire to do something for the Lord. And people will get ahead of God. People will try to make things happen. But we are instruments, right? In His hand. Right? Okay. This, my little mug here, is an instrument. What is an instrument? What is it an instrument of? Now, use something even better. My guitar is an instrument. But what's it doing right now?
Waiting.
It's waiting. It's just sitting there. It's waiting. It has no say-so. It doesn't do anything until it's utilized. I am the owner of this guitar. And so when I pick it up and use it, it operates. What if I don't? It doesn't operate. We are his instruments. It's a lesson for us. But you know what? I keep it in tune. I keep it ready. I do need to polish it up a little bit. So that when the opportunity comes, it's ready to go. And that's what's happening in our lives. We're being tuned. We're learning how to tune in. We're learning how to listen. We're learning how to obey. We're learning how to operate in faith. We're learning how to extend that faith into the unknown. We're learning how to wait. We're learning about the character of God. And like I said earlier, the Holy Spirit is always at work. He doesn't just sit idle.
Right. The guitar lets you tune it.
Oh, the guitar lets me tune it. Oh, my. A great truth. When you are content, you are not striving. This guitar is not striving to be played. I don't hear it going, come on now, what am I going to play? What am I going to do? We're going to do it. When you are content, you are happy. You are, like I say, in the saddle. I love that feeling, being in the saddle. When you are content, you're not anxious. You can't be anxious and at rest at the same time. Yeah, they can't coexist. When you are content, you are not fearful. Habakkuk 3:17. Read with me. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, and the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. It's not, contentment is not necessitated upon exterior circumstances. It doesn't depend on it. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hind's feet. Even in the midst of chaos around me, he makes my feet like hind's feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. The places that God has designed for you, he'll make you to walk in those high places.
Can you explain hind feet?
Hind is another word for like a buck, like a deer, an antelope. So, and they are quick on their feet. They don't run, they prance. And so, he will make my feet like hind's feet. I'll be prancing. He'll make me to walk upon mine high places. Psalms 18:30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust him. For who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and makes my way perfect. Again, makes my feet like hind's feet and sets me upon my high places. Yeah, concepts. These are concepts. And the last scripture, Hebrews 13:6, says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do to me. Now, one thing that I didn't cover, and is, what are we to be content in?
Circumstances.
What else are we to be content in?
In our portion.
What else?
What was the question?
What are we to be content in?
Our desires.
Our portion. Our circumstances. I want you to think.
All things.
Content in all things.
Yeah.
I'm looking for something specific.
Be content in all things. I'm just saying.
One of the things that as Christians we have the hardest time finding contentment in.
Trials.
Well.
In our ministry.
No.
Contentment in everything.
I mean, that's all true, but there's one area that we have the hardest time.
Contentment in the Lord.
Pardon?
Faith.
In the Lord.
Sanctification.
Sanctification, what'd you say?
I said all areas.
Probably the number one area of discontentment.
Wait.
Oh, okay.
Okay, go.
I was taking a drink.
Give him a pause.
Okay, you're going to want to write this down and keep it in front of you. We've all will deal with this. We have to deal with this. Who you are. Being content with who you are. Many times, we're not happy with who we are. Many times, we judge ourselves by our past. We see ourselves in light of the past. But you know, there is no future in the past. As Christians, Jesus Christ paid the most awesome price for you, to purchase you, his life and his blood, which means that you are not yourself. Which means, remember the word glory? Okay. That brings you into the, let me see it. I can't say position because it's up to us to receive it. But it brings you to the entrance to receive all of that, if you can accept it. Okay, the Bible says we are justified through Christ, right?
Yeah, by faith.
Justified means just as if you've not sinned. The Bible says that we are righteous. He is our righteousness. We're righteousness now. Righteousness means, you look at the root word, is right. You have right standing. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. They don't exist anymore. And all things are new. It's the King James says creature, but it means a new creation, a new species. That means that you're something that hasn't been in existence before. So, the slate is clean. The opportunity is clean. The jail cells, the bondage, the doors are open, no more bondages, the chains are broken. But how do you see yourself? Do you like yourself?
Bless you.
Do you love yourself? I'm not talking about vanity. But when you look in the mirror, what do you see? When you look at the mirror, you are looking into your eyes. I'm sorry.
Sorry, sorry. I had to go there.
That's good. On a personal basis, I can remember the time I didn't appreciate who I was. I started, we were singing some old songs earlier, and I would record some songs and, during the course of a service, and we'd record it and I would listen to it and I would go, oh, I found no contentment in listening to myself. And the Lord, He took me aside one day and He says, do you realize, listen closely, that you are despising the thing that I love? Do you realize that you are putting down the very thing I lifted up? Whoa. I did a quick, backstab. I'm sorry, Lord. And from that time when the Lord opened my eyes and everything that I was doing that I have learned has been because of what He had done for me. And when I understood that, my attitude changed about myself. And you know what? When my attitude changed about myself, my attitude changed about people around me. And when my attitude changed about people, about myself and people around me, you know what? I was once again like a friendly guy. Because if you don't like yourself, nobody else is going to like you. You're going to have a demeanor. You're going to have a spirit about you. So, let's look at the Word of God. Because everything that we are is through Christ. Everything. The new birth, filled with the Spirit, the righteousness, the justification, forgiveness, our being in Christ, the new man, it's all through Christ and not of ourselves. So therefore, we need to take pleasure in what God has done. Appreciate what God has done. If you can appreciate what God has done in your life, you sure will appreciate what God has done in the life of others. Yes. Then you can celebrate one another. Yes.
If I could add two verses.
Yes.
Colossians 2:6. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow. And then,
what was that
one, sorry?
Colossians 2:6.
And then the other one is Philippians 1:6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the end of the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Philippians 1:6. Yes, amen.
So if we will continue in him, he will finish the work.
It's all about him. We just got to stay plugged in.
Yep.
Let's pray. Father, we bless you. We thank you for your goodness and your love, your mercy. Lord, take these words, Lord. May they go deep into our hearts, Lord, so that we can live, Lord, in a manner that's pleasing in your sight. We give you glory and praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.